This is the Food Not Bombs Radio Network.
Now, this, in 1928, Rockefeller had a little bit more money to spend in this, what was called eugenics, which was the study of the racial differences, genetically speaking, as well as the racial predispositions for diseases.
Coming up on the Food Not Bombs Radio Network, we bring you part two of our interview with Dr. Leonard Horowitz, author of Emerging Viruses, AIDS and Ebola, Nature, Accident, or Intentional.
You reckon hell who leave me out. When me you fly, I am the wings. Lands is by definition the most dangerous road in the world, for it is a journey beyond death, beyond the basic God standard of fear and danger. It is the most heavily guarded road in the world, for it gives access to the gift that supersedes all other gifts, immortality.
I'm Richard Edmondson. This is the Food Not Bombs Radio Network. Would it come as a surprise to you to learn that America's most respected, preeminent AIDS researcher had also been one of the Pentagon's top scientists working on biological warfare, and that the two were, in fact, one and the same man? Such can perhaps be said of Dr. Robert Gallo, featured prominently as a figure of controversy in the Randy Schultz book And the Band Played On, yet who vaulted into international fame in 1984 as the co-discoverer of HIV, the virus which causes AIDS. Gallo's career at the National Institutes of Health in Bethesda, Maryland, spans more than 30 years, during which time he rose to become the federal agency's top virologist. But in the 1960s, following his residency at the University of Chicago, the future AIDS researcher entered into a collaboration with scientists from Litton Bionetics, a major biological warfare defense contractor. Gallo's ties to Litton Bionetics are documented in the book Emerging Viruses, AIDS and Ebola, Nature, Accident, or Intentional, by Dr. Leonard Horowitz. And now we bring you part two of a Food Not Bombs Radio Network interview with Dr. Horowitz, conducted on June 19, 1997, at the studio of San Francisco Liberation Radio. Let's talk a little bit about what Gallo was involved in back in the 60s and 70s. You devote a whole chapter in your book. You say that Dr. Robert Gallo may have actually created the AIDS virus a decade before he ostensibly discovered it. And you devote a whole section in the book to the research that Gallo was carrying on in the 60s and 70s, as well as his close collaboration at that time with researchers from Litton Bionetics. Now, based on the paper trail that they left behind, and they did publish a lot of articles in a lot of scientific journals, publish or perish, as they say, in academia.
Right.
So they did publish. You spent many hours, I take it, reading through all these scientific articles that they published in all these scientific journals. What were they working on at that time?
They were working on four things. One was they were working on biological weapons in the area of immune system ravaging viruses and microorganisms under the Department of Defense contract. They were, after all, sixth on the list of major Army biological weapons contractors at that time. And I'm speaking specifically of Litton Bionetics Research Labs. The connection between Litton and the Nixon administration is very, very clear. Henry Kissinger was selected, I said earlier, as National Security Advisor under Richard Nixon, the most powerful man in American intelligence, overseeing CIA and FBI. What I did not tell you is that Roy Ashe, the president of Litton, was Kissinger's alternate for that post. Nixon's, you know, basically was considering Roy Ashe. He was the president of Litton. So he got instead $5.6 billion of contracts the first Nixon administration, and he became...
He was the president of Litton?
Litton, yes, that's
and
Roy Ashe.
And he was
Ashe.
Being considered for Henry Kissinger's post, except they chose Henry Kissinger.
Exactly, right, Richard. And you see, so it's a good old boy network, and you see that Roy Ashe, you know, the $10 million that Litton was given for the development of these immune system ravaging microorganisms for cancer research and germ warfare, this was a drop in the bucket to the $5.5 billion that they received. That first Nixon administration. Now, he also was elevated to the post of assistant to the President of the United States and the Director of America's industry, business and industry. That was the post that they gave to Roy Ashe. Now, I understand Roy Ashe is currently extremely active politically in some of the political movements today, too, in the state of California. So, at any rate, the money went to Litton, and how do I know that for certain? Well, because I found the contracts. So this is, I mean, the most amazing thing of all, and probably the most disturbing thing about the book Emerging Viruses, AIDS, and Ebola is literally that I found and reprint in black and white the United States government contracts. And so to answer your question, what else were they doing? Well, you can see it in the contracts. Besides biological weapons development for DOD, they were involved in cancer research, and they were doing three things with cancer research. They were first evaluating whether indeed viruses could produce cancer in humans. They weren't certain of that until allegedly Gallo came out in 1978-79 and stated that HTLV-1, the first leukemia virus that he was credited for allegedly having discovered, also...
And so ostensibly they wanted to know that so they could treat cancer.
Yes. Exactly, and develop ways to diagnose it early. They were looking for early screening methods for...
Only coincidentally with the same information you could develop biological warfare.
Of course, it's the same thing, but that's been traditional. I mean, you look at biotechnology or all technology, and you see that the curve of development, research and development curve, is first begun with military expenditures, and what follows is, you know, the... technology spinoffs for the general trade.
Mm-hmm.
So at any rate, they were looking.
That seems to be the common thread, though, that runs through this. Is they're constantly doing cancer research under the guise, or doing military research under the guise of cancer research.
Right, and don't forget that this is the Rockefeller-led military medical industrial complex. And again, in the book Emerging Viruses, AIDS, and Ebola, I trace the cancer industry to the 1920s when the Rockefellers began the cancer industry. And you see that it was the Rockefellers that, to do that, they got Mary Lasker, whose husband was New York's chief advertising agency, and that they called her Mary and her little lambs. And what they did is to play on the emotions and the heartstrings and to get access to the pocketbooks of Americans. What they did is they designed ads showing crippled children and leukemic children. And, of course, emotionally this made people feel very, very uncomfortable, and they started to donate to the American Cancer Society. And this is largely run and dictated by the Rockefellers. Also, I show you that the cancer industry at the same exact time that the cancer industry was coming out, Rockefellers had funded Flexner, who developed the Flexner investigation with the Flexner report, ultimately, that was given to Congress that said that...
No, what is that? What is the Flexner report?
That's a significant change. That's, I mean, why we have medical allopathic health care today in the United States, drug-based approach to health and disease is because of the Flexner Report. Rockefeller funded Flexner to go around and study various healing methods, and then he basically claimed that everything other than pharmaceutical-based interventions was quackery. And so they outlawed things like homeopathy, acupuncture, and everything else, herbs. I mean, all this became secondary to the Rockefeller-led medical industrial complex, military also. And so that's why we have the approach that we have today. That's why alternative medicine is considered, quote, alternative, mm-hmm. is because it was made that way from a political agenda, financial political agenda. And again, I show you at the same time that what ties this into the horrifying reality, that why in my heart I'd like not to believe that this was intentional, but, you know, again, in my gut I have to feel that it's most plausibly was, is because the Rockefellers in the same time funded the researchers that developed the racial hygiene laws in the United States. In the 1920s, if you were a black man, for instance, and you wanted to marry a white woman, you would be killed, shot, hung in the South, and jailed in the North. If you were a white man, you wanted to marry a black woman, you'd be jailed. That was all allegedly based on sound scientific research showing that blacks were genetically inferior to whites. This was Rockefeller-funded research. Now, this, in 1928, Rockefeller had a little bit more money to spend in this, what was called eugenics, which was the study of the racial differences, genetically speaking, as well as the racial predispositions for diseases. And so they funded, Rockefeller then, in 1928, funded the development of the Kaiser Wilhelm Institute for eugenics in Nazi Germany, pre-Nazi Germany. And so that this organization became the preeminent eugenics institute, which then gave rise to all of the people who developed Hitler's racial hygiene program, so that only a couple years later, 1932, Hitler gets out of jail, publishes Mein Kampf. What does he tell you right in Mein Kampf? To gain money for his political aspirations, he tells you, don't think of me as a bad man. I'm not a bad man. In fact, I'm just doing what the researchers, the Rockefeller-funded researchers are showing in the United States, that blacks are genetically inferior to whites. And now he adds Jews. Okay, so then a couple years later, you've got the purging, 1938, the purging of the European universities of the Jewish professors. And where do you think the ones that were involved in genetic research went? Most of them came to the United States. And they went to work for Rockefeller University. They went to work for Cold Springs Harbor, funded by Rockefellers and sister organization Sloan, also Rockefeller-run, largely, because of Lawrence Rockefeller's association there. And they went to work for Yale, which today is the preeminent virology lab. They went to work for University of Chicago, built by Rockefeller money and financed by money, Rockefeller money. This is where Dr. Robert Gallo comes from, you see. And so that these people now, during this eugenics period, pre-World War II, and then during World War II, of course, you had the most hideous of all experiments that you couldn't in your wildest nightmares imagine. People doing these things to other human beings during the Holocaust, where they took gay men, Jews, Christians, gypsies, whoever they didn't fit in their New World Order white supremacist agenda, they took these people and mild among all the thousands of experiments they did is they took a large gauge needle, gouged it into the eye of a human being without anesthetic, withdrew a piece of eye color, sample so they can do genetic analysis to find out what genes are associated with eye color. This is mild. If you don't believe me, you're out there listening, you don't believe me, just go to the National Holocaust Museum someday in Washington, D.C. There you see not only the pictures, but you see the medical artifacts.
So wasn't Rockefeller actually sending oil, standard oil, to the Germans during the war?
Well, of course, these are the same people. This is why I say...
I know a lot of these great American capitalists are supposed to have been great fans of Hitler, and Rockefeller was
absolutely
one of those.
They funded Hitler's rise. As a matter of fact, what you're talking about is very well documented, not only in my book, Emerging Viruses, AIDS, and Ebola, but also in the book by Ahrens and Loftus called The Secret War Against the Jews. That's St. Martin's Press, 1994, wherein you see it was the Dulles brothers, Alan and John Foster Dulles, who was the Rockefellers, John D. Rockefeller, Standard Oil chief legal counsel and business managers.
And they went on to head the CIA.
Yes.
Or one of them did. I forget which one.
They went on to be intimately involved in Project Paperclip, which was the exfiltration of 2,000 of the Nazis out of Germany that came to work for the United States Central Intelligence or American Industry, places like Merck. And you see that that these people literally created the Cold War. As they funded Hitler's rise, you see, it was the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, the Warburgs, others, and this is not a Jewish conspiracy. A lot of people would like to have you believe it's a Jewish conspiracy. It's not. You know, the Bible says, beware of those who call themselves Jews who are not. This is, in my opinion, a satanic conspiracy. This is far greater evil than you can ever imagine. But then ultimately, you see, the Dulles brothers created the partnership, like you're talking about, between Rockefeller's Standard Oil and IG Farben, Germany's leading industrial organization, and the Third Reich. And it was IG Farben that used the concentration camp victims as slave labor to build and run their factories. It was IG Farben that held the patent on the gas that killed those millions of people. This was Rockefeller's partner.
It was IG Farben which developed sarin, was it not?
Yes, exactly.
Nerve gas.
Yes. So that, you know, again, the reason why we do not have the American Jewish community, the American Christian community, the Nation of Islam, the African American community, and the American gay community joining hand in hand and marching in the streets of New York in front of Chase Manhattan Bank and burning Rockefeller in effigy is a great tribute to the success of America's counterintelligence propaganda campaign.
Yeah, it's a great tribute to mind control.
That's what it is, exactly. Mind control studies that were being evaluated and funded by the Rockefellers and the Sloans, where they paid, I show you in the book, Emerging Viruses, AIDS, and Ebola, they literally paid MIT, where David Baltimore comes from again, $200,000 during the 1960s under the neurosciences umbrella, how noble, for, quote, public management, mass persuasion technologies research, that is brainwashing. Mm-hmm. And that's why people are, that's why I say the gay men out in San Francisco, excuse me, you can call me homophobic if you like, but the bottom line is I would greatly appreciate it if you would wake up. Unfortunately, I don't hold too much hope for you. You have been brainwashed. Your magazines like Paz, you know, I happen to have an interchange with the editor of Paz. Every page almost you see advertising from the pharmaceutical companies. In my opinion, based on the evidence I'm looking at, the gay population in the United States has been bought off, paid off, and now has literally bought into the brainwashing propaganda.
Have you talked to anybody with ACT UP San Francisco?
Yes. Michael is probably the only ACT UP
because
group that I respect at this point. They're the same. They're taking the same line that I'm taking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I was gonna say.
And, but it's like, look what's happening nationwide.
There's a split between ACT UP San Francisco and ACT UP Golden Gate.
Right.
And they... Golden Gate really bought into the pharmaceutical.
Of course they did. ACT UP San Francisco, in my opinion, is the only true heroes in the gay ACT UP movement. They're the only ones who have stayed true to the facts. It's disgusting, in my opinion.
Now, interestingly, we were talking earlier about Merck Pharmaceuticals, interestingly, they having indisputably and openly played this role in biological warfare research back in the 1940s, they went on a couple of decades later to develop the hepatitis B vaccine, or to manufacture it, which of course, as we already mentioned, has been widely implicated in the introduction of HIV into the gay population in New York. Is this just another coincidence that the refuters of this theory are asking us to swallow, or is this another piece of the puzzle falling into place?
Well, you're speaking about the hepatitis B vaccine, why it is linked to these people, how it's linked, and then how it's not such a perhaps coincidence that the hepatitis B vaccine was linked.
How hepatitis B vaccine, which has been implicated in the spread of AIDS, happened to have been manufactured by a corporation like Merck. Which has its roots in biological warfare.
Of course. Well, this is, again, you know, when you lay out all
there's
the facts.
There's just too many coincidences.
Of course, there's far too many. Exactly. That's why it's absurd. I mean, you and I can look at each other and smile. Why? Because it's like the truth and the reality is so disturbing. And that people, like the emperor's new clothes, they don't even see. And they won't acknowledge, even if they do see, the fact that the emperor has no clothes on. Merck has no clothes. The CDC has no clothes. Basically, this game is over. The fact of the matter is I found and reprint the government contracts. You literally see that numerous AIDS, like and Ebola-like viruses, were produced since 1962 to 1976. The game is over. The deception is over. Guess what, though? You and I can smile at each other because we see that nobody sees it and nobody wants to see it. And so at this point, what do we do? Well, you and I, Richard, and those who have eyes to see and ears to hear, we smile and we go off and we do what we take our own protections. We understand the risks. We try to avoid those risks and we try to do everything in our power to boost our immune systems in every way possible to avoid these types of risks and to do things that are positive. But as far as you know, trying to make people see this who do not have eyes to see it. I'm not going to do that anymore.
Scientists always said there's no such thing as a soul. Now they're in a position to prove it. It's what the Egyptians call the second and final death. This awesome power to destroy souls forever is now vested in far-sighted and responsible men in the State Department, the CIA, and the Pentagon.
If AIDS was created intentionally, one possible motive that has been suggested is that of population control. According to figures from the U.S. Census Bureau, world population currently stands at 5.8 billion. That's up from a relatively modest 2.5 billion in the year 1950. Census Bureau figures project that by the year 2050, the population of the Earth will top 9.3 billion. Some scientists believe the planet may only be capable of sustaining 8 billion. According to the Washington, D.C.-based Population Institute, failure to address overpopulation will result in deforestation, ozone depletion, and global warming in the 21st century. A few interesting statistics. In the last 10 years alone, 600,000 square miles of forest have been cut, 26 billion tons of topsoil have been lost, and, according to the National Science Foundation, 40% of all frogs have disappeared. Presently, 3 billion young people are entering their reproductive years. That's equal to the entire population of the world in 1960. If HIV were man-made, and if its introduction were deliberate, then those who perpetrated the deed could perhaps be thought of as the ultimate eco-terrorists.
Well, a lot of money was being funded to the World Health Organization through the Rockefeller establishment. First of all, the Rockefellers were intimately involved in funding World Bank, in funding the United Nations and the World Health Organization. Of course, these are the organizations now that are intimately tied to population control. And it was the Rockefellers funded Population Control Council of the City of New York, which also was funded by the Sloan Foundation, on which Lawrence Rockefeller was a board of director. And basically, you know, this whole connection to the international blood banksters, I call them, you see, the Rockefeller, Lawrence Rockefeller put together the New York City Blood Bank, that became the count. That was the Council of Doctors. I'm sorry, the New York City Blood Council. That was the Council of Doctors that put together the New York City Blood Bank. And these people became the International Blood Banksters. And they were the ones who also heavily regulated the American Red Cross. But you see, the Rockefeller connection to funding the World Health Organization studies is very, very clear. And you see U.S. aid money being funneled to World Health Organization and to the experiments for the National Cancer Institute experiments in Central Africa. And, of course, all this ties together, unfortunately, coincidentally, with the population control agenda that Henry Kissinger articulated in 1971 with the writing of the National Security Memorandum 200, which called for, which cited the fact that they felt that population growth in the Third World was American intelligence's, American security's chief priority. They had to put arrest this population growth. And so they developed population control programs. And, of course, among the countries that Henry Kissinger targeted for population control, now you see these are the most devastated with HIV/AIDS. So, you know, you have to be a fool, in my opinion, to not to open your eyes and begin to take this information seriously, or at least give it a critical review. I mean, you have to be a fool, or you have to be brainwashed and brain dead. And basically, in my opinion, that's equally as foolish.
Governments fall from sheer indifference. Authority figures, deprived of the vampiric energy they suck off their constituents, are seen for what they are. Dead, empty mass, manipulated by computers. And what is behind the computers? Remote control. Look at the prison you're in. We are all in. This is a penal colony that is now a death camp.
On our next program, we'll bring you part 3 of our interview with Dr. Leonard Horowitz, author of Emerging Viruses. This is the Food Not Bombs Radio Network.
I want to say hello to the members of the Food Not Bombs group in the United States, and I'm here in Tübingen in Germany, and I like your ideas and work and vision very much, and keep on going.
My name is Alexandra, and many greetings to the activists of Food Not Bombs.
Hello, ich bin Henrik aus Deutschland, und ich grüße Food Not Bombs in Amerika.
Bernie in London, from Australia. Food Not Bombs is becoming quite well known about in Australia, and inspiring countercultural and anarchist activists over there. And we've heard about their stuff, and we just wish them the best of luck.
I'm Lily.
Hi, I'm Leonie. We're from Food Not Bombs, Tübingen, in Germany. And we're saying hello to all of you, and we love you. And
hello, I'm Kuhn. I'm cooking for Food Not Bombs tonight.
This is Sara from Belgium, and we're cooking now for Food Not Bombs.
My name is Joseph Seida. I just hear CT is calling, speaking us about Food Not Bombs. We're here now in France. We think America is a big state, which is control of the world. We are afraid this virus will come to us. But I'm sure Food Not Bombs make a good work, and Richard also. And what I want to say is, my English is quite bad. But, keep going, guys and girls, and everybody there. Okay, keep going. I love you. Bye bye.
Copies of this, as well as our last program featuring part 1 of our interview with Dr. Leonard Horowitz, are available on cassette. The cost of both programs together is $10 plus $2 postage and handling. Send your check to the Food Not Bombs Radio Network, 750 La Playa, LAPLAYA, Box 852, San Francisco, California, 954-921. That's the Food Not Bombs Radio Network, 750 La Playa, L.A., P-L-A-Y-A, Box 852, San Francisco, California, 94121. And again, you get both programs on one cassette at a price of $10 plus $2 postage and handling. Food Not Bombs feeds the movement toward human liberation. For information on starting a Food Not Bombs group in your city, call toll-free to 1-800-884-1136. That's 1-800-884-1136. The music on this program is by Material, with voice narration by William S. Burroughs. For the Food Not Bombs Radio Network, I'm Richard Edmondson.
You reckon hell who leave me out? When me you fly, I am the wings.